This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
With the 233rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Kyle Monanga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Hold on. Did she say running back for the Rutgers and that was the end? Like, not the Scarlet Knights, the Rutgers?
The Rutgers.
Can we hear that one more time?
With the 233rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears pick Kyle Monanga. He's running back for the Rutgers.
Right. Go Rutgers!
A lot of people who get selected to announce the picks in the draft are like very special individuals who have like a big major moment, or there's some sort of significance there. So I'm not picking on anybody, but the Rutgers might need to become a thing.
You're going to start calling it the Rutgers? I wouldn't
the
do
Rutgers.
That.
Like, what school did Isaiah Pacheco go to? The Rutgers.
My best friend's wife went to Rutgers, and I know if I called it the Rutgers, she would literally physically, yeah, it'd be hands. Hands on sight.
Okay, but
she's always trying to fight.
We're here.
She'll hear about it.
What? woman has scared you.
Yeah, she's scary. She's a scary woman. You know what? I might, in fact, send her this clip to just tell her peace. Like, I have to see her next week.
Please find this individual.
I'm going to the concert with her. I don't want any problems. I don't want the smoke. I just want peace in my life.
I know who it is, I respect their game.
Yeah.
That's enough for me to know. This is the Midday Show. Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi, and you. And we continue to ask the question based on our topic of the day, which is, do you feel the draft eased your concerns about the Bears at all, specifically when it comes to need? The way you said it this morning, when it came to how we're talking about the running backs we ended up talking about this past weekend and then when the draft started.
Listen, I came in here on a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, even a Thursday of last week. And all the talk was Ashton Jeanty. Is he going to fall to 10? Should they trade up? They should definitely trade up. They should take the best player. Ben Johnson needs weapons. A weapon at running back, which also happens to be a need of the Chicago Bears. And not just that, it's the fact that Ashton Jeanty could be the new Sonic and Knuckles, if you will, paired with DeAndre Swift. A generational running back, whether you want to talk about generational talent or generational production. Either way, generational.
Best running back prospect
in the draft class.
Since Bijan Robinson.
Yes, that's what I was told.
In years.
So let's fast forward to actual draft night. Picks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Wait, the Bears didn't trade up to 6?
The Raiders.
The Raiders took him at 6? Okay, that's cool. Now I don't have to worry about the Bears trading up. If you remember, I said don't trade up for Ashton Jeanty. Whatever you do, you have too many needs. Then they take a tight end. And I was like, okay, day one, that makes sense. I can put this away and say, I get it. The three best tackles went off the board. We're cool. Day two comes though, Layla, and I realize, uh-oh. Because they didn't take a running back. And I was like, it's okay.
There was a land run on the running back talent. It was like Oklahoma style.
Layla.
Sooners. Not the actual running backs, but, you know, the concept of getting there soon.
The difference between day two and day one is, you know, in day one, there's one round. Day two, there's two rounds. and we knew the Bears had multiple second-round picks. The moment they traded back at 41, I was like, okay, their guy must have gotten got that they were targeting, but they could have had him maybe. I don't know what's happening, but you know what? Let's see how this plays out. On day three, Layla, that's when I realized as running back after running back, oh, another trade back. Wait a minute. It's the seventh round, and they don't even have a running back.
Wait a minute.
They don't even have a running back. And then I was like,
how did this happen?
Kyle Manungai. Okay. So Kyle Manungai, 233 overall. It's not that they took a running back that can't be a successful NFL running back. Isaiah Pacheco is the direct comparison because, well, they went to the same school. He was drafted in the seventh round. And he was a very valuable contributor in his first year in the NFL. I'm not saying that can't happen. But when you know that you need a running back, and you know that there's lots of depth, and you've refused to tap into that depth, that's the issue here.
The disconnect.
Yes. Where did it happen? What did I miss?
And for example, when you're hearing the head coach talk about how his magical offense, and it is magical when it works, his magical offense is predicated on the run, you're saying to yourself, this is a mission statement. Like, this is something you're telling us for a reason. We know what happened with DeAndre Swift at his previous stop. He was also the Bears' second choice at free agent running back to Saquon. That's an easy thing to say in retrospect, but the point is the Bears paid for his services. So you know you've got a multi-year commitment to DeAndre Swift. We all know he wasn't utilized properly last season. We know that. When it comes to, you know, 17 games played, he had 253 carries and 959 yards. It's good, but was it enough when you saw it for yourself?
No. It did not pass like the
eye test. The eye test, unfortunately, is not indicative of what you saw in the stats. So the reason I bring that piece of it up is, you know, when Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina goes 22 to a running-focused coach in Harbaugh and L.A. and the Chargers, you know what's happening there. So that was one focus that you had. You were at number 10 with Colston Loveland, the Bears. So one of the secondary backs who was probably on your board is already gone. Then additionally, Travion Henderson goes at pick number 38 right ahead of you.
I think that was the one. I think that was the one that sent everything into a tailspin.
Right, and you've got to have a counterpunch. Obviously, if we're thinking about this, the Bears are thinking about it. I think that's why it's important to fold in what Ryan Poles had to say about how he operates when it comes to perhaps that exact situation. You can at least understand where it might have applied. Let's take a listen.
Yeah, I've always felt that. I mean, every draft has like just pockets that you just don't fall into. And again, if you're going to be disciplined and you're going to let the board kind of dictate how you do things, it just happens that way. So, because of that, you end up in some really cool situations and really acquiring talented players. It might come from a different position that maybe you would have liked to. But at the end of the day, you're increasing the talent on your football team. And I do think you can get into a lot of trouble if you start trying to manipulate things to get into certain pockets where you end up hurting your team long term.
Except, what do you think you did when you decided to trade down? Because of how your board fell, you end up taking a guy who was picked by many to be in the first round, Luther Burden. We will talk about that a little bit more. I mean, that is an understandably, the board says this, we're going to take him because he's the best player available pick. But then it's not until the seventh round that we're talking about a running back. This is the most discussion of a seventh round pick that I've had in a long time when it comes to the Bears draft. Like, even for what we talk about with Roschon Johnson, he's a fourth-round pick overall. So we go from talking about Ashton Jeanty to a seventh-rounder. You can't help where you drafted, but that's a pretty precipitous fall if a team truly wanted a running back that they think is going to help this offense be fully realized.
There's a chance that they thought this running back draft class was so deep that it was 20-plus. I don't like those chances. I don't want to sign up for that narrative. So really, the pocket passed them by. And you know, you can put a hot pocket in the microwave. I prefer putting it in the toaster oven because I'm a professional. But if you let that thing sit in the oven, microwave or toaster, too long, now it's cold again. It's no longer hot. What are we doing? Don't let the pocket miss you. Get back into the pocket. That's all I'm asking. Like, I saw a lot of trading back. Maybe there should have been a trade up. I just, if this guy's not on the roster at the start of the season, that means one of two things have happened. He wasn't good enough, or they went out and got a free agent running back, which is also a possibility. But as far as, did the Bears ease your mind at running back? It is a succinct no.
Right. And listen, they don't have the same kind of open room under the cap to maybe sign one of the free agent backs that we talked about. Yes, Nick Chubb has been discussed. How much so? Well, there's a little audio that we have coming up at 11 that will speak to that, because this is not something that has just been speculated on by us. Trying to figure out where he's going to go in Cleveland has also been a big discussion. So I think that that's important to bring up here. Either way, it's a wonderful success if you're talking about a seventh round pick being a crucial part of the team. Kyle Monongo was the 20th rated running back by The Beast, if you're into that sort of thing. We know that this was an incredibly strong running back class, as we've mentioned before. I think David Montgomery's part of what makes him so good in the Ben Johnson offense is his pass blocking skills. How much does that factor in for this particular individual? And frankly, does it say more about what Ryan Poles thought in who he had in the running back room already who might be healthy? Roshan Johnson's health, for example. Ian Wheeler's health, for example. Is that enough to get you what you need? All I know is when you tell me a lot about the run and how that run game is not only going to help Caleb Williams in his first season under this offense, but also help make the offense functional, you're placing a lot of importance on each individual back who is in that room.
So your answer is also no then?
I can't say that you did what you set out to do. You know, whether it was fully address the lines in a higher round or a higher pick, and I understand the importance of tight end here. So Colson Loveland, that's a top 10 pick. You know, you're picking somebody good at that level. You just are. The odds are in your favor that that's happening. But either way, this is a lot of importance that we're placing on a guy who didn't choose where he got drafted.
Also, the answer is still no when we talk about edge, defensive tackle. Okay, cool. I understand that you believe in interior pressure, maybe more than other teams do as far as getting an edge rusher, but somebody's got to get to the quarterback at the end of the day. Dayo Dingbo, maybe he's your answer, but last time I checked, teams winning Super Bowls, they have waves of guys coming from all angles.
A direct quote from what we heard Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles talk about was that very concept of waves of a pass rush, especially when you know a guy like Montez Sweat isn't on the field every snap. That's just never been who he was.
All I saw in the draft is them wave by to the edge position because they didn't draft one. That's all I saw. That's the only wave I saw.
I like 815's comment, become the pocket. That's one way to do it. That's one way to address it. 773 says Poles dropped the ball on running backs. 847 says I saw a third round grade on Kyle Monongo. And that's fair. Like I said, just out of the running backs themselves rated one against another, I saw 20th overall. So you can have your steals. You know, Austin Booker was considered a steal. We'll see how that plays out as well from last year. But once again, we're just asking more questions than we necessarily wanted to ask following now the fourth Bears draft under Ryan Poles.